Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it is just to be in church and receiving that which God has for us and every aspect of it, the encouragement that we can have one to another, the congregational singing as well as the special music, and then the studying and the preaching of the Word of God. And we look forward to it. I trust you look forward to it each and every week. Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. And we're coming to the end of our study in the book of Revelation. We started out a few years ago studying every book of the Bible. We went through and we gave an outline, one message on each book of the Bible. And then we got to the book of Revelation and we broke it down and started preaching and teaching it just verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we have studied several things throughout the book of Revelations. Throughout this entire study, we always bring out some things that will help us here. First of all, the Bible is what takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. The Word of God is what God has preserved for us, and we have it to know about the beginning of all things, creation, and then the end of all things, when this world is going to come to an end. And it's everything that God has written down and preserved for us is found in the Word of God. So the Bible takes us from eternity past to eternity future. God has a purpose for revealing all that God has revealed. Starting in the creation of all things, God has a purpose for revealing. He hasn't revealed everything, but He has a purpose for what He has revealed. And throughout the Old Testament and the prophecies, in order to have an understanding of the book of Revelation, you have to be able to understand Old Testament prophecies and then the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're better prepared to interpret the book of Revelation. And so He has a purpose for that, for revealing what He has revealed. We know that good men differ on some interpretations, especially when you come into the book of Revelation. Good men do not differ on doctrine. If they're good men, they understand Bible doctrine, and they're in agreement with Bible doctrine. But in some of the interpretations, especially in the typologies, the time frames, and all the different things such as that, there are some disagreements and some differences of interpretation, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that God allows that. And then there's what we have been going through, especially as we get into the book of Revelation, is a practical study of the book of Revelation. I'm a practical preacher. If you've been here at any time at all, you realize I just want to try to get the Word of God, bring it to the place where we can understand it, and make application. I believe God has it here for us to live. We need to live the Word of God. In order to live the Word of God, we have to have practical applications of the Scriptures. And we try to do that here at this church. And so, going through the book of Revelation, we know that chapter 6 through chapter 19, we've been dealing with the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period. The next event in prophecy is the rapture of the church, which ushers in a seven-year tribulation period on this earth. During that time, the church will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The church will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then at the end of the 7 years, the church will come back with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been looking. There's the Battle of Armageddon. We studied several things in chapter 19. The second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, the doom of the beast, the doom of the false prophet. First ones into the Gehenna hell, that's eternal hell. The first ones in there are the beast and the false prophet, which are going to deceive the whole world during that tribulation period. Well, tonight we're looking in chapter 20, and been looking forward to this part. It's really good, amen? It's exciting to understand what's going to take place in Jesus establishing a thousand-year millennial reign on this earth, a thousand-year millennial reign. And the first thing that He does in establishing this thousand-year millennial reign is the binding of the devil. Amen? And so stand with me. We're going to read here six verses tonight, Revelation chapter 6. And Satan is going to be bound for a thousand years. Now, he's not cast into Gehenna hell or eternal hell. That's where the beast and the false prophet are. There's no escape out of eternal hell. But Satan is bound for a thousand years. And then after that time, then he will be cast into eternal hell as well. But we find here in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verse 1 down to verse 6. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. A millennium is 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do come before you tonight, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to be in church. And we thank you, God, that we can assemble like this, knowing that you're here in the midst with us, and we can open up your holy word and be taught the truths that you would have us to know, the things concerning past, present, and future. And I pray tonight as we are looking at this end times, Lord, that you would give each one of us an ear to hear what you have to say to each one, that which will strengthen us in our faith. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So before this millennial reign of Christ can be what God wants it to be, and this is going to be utopia on earth. It's going to be the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so this is something that the Bible has much to say about, Old Testament, New Testament as well. But it's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign where righteousness will rule and reign on this earth. Jesus Christ himself will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And for 1,000 years, this world will be ruled in truth and righteousness. In order for that to take place, then the first order of business, once we find that everything else has taken place concerning the dealing of the Battle of Armageddon and the dealing with the beast and the false prophet and all that, we find that Satan is going to be bound for this 1,000 years. Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Before righteousness can rule and reign on the earth, we must get rid of evil. Righteousness cannot rule and reign as long as Satan is loose and there is deception and there is evil amongst us. And so we find that Jesus even taught concerning this that the earth is purged of all evil. The earth is purged of all evil. Matthew chapter 25, we have Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he mentioned some of this, and this is recorded for them to go back afterwards as well as it's recorded for us to study, so that we would have a better understanding of even what will take place on the earth. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory," that's the return of Christ to the earth, "and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So we know this 1,000-year millennial reign, Christ is coming, and he himself will sit on the throne, and the throne will be established in Jerusalem. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This millennial reign of Christ is something that God has been preparing since the foundation of the world. This is something that the Old Testament prophets, even though they prophesied about it, did not fully understand what it would be. But Jesus coming in this New Testament church age, understanding and knowing exactly what would take place. And so he gives us insight into that. And so that when we get into the book of Revelation, then we can compare the prophecies and then the teachings of Christ with what that says, what the Revelation says, and we can have a better understanding of what will happen. And so we know that the earth will be purged of all evil. The lost, most of them will die at the Battle of Armageddon. All the ungodly kings and all the ungodly rulers, they'll be killed during that Battle of Armageddon. So those who remain on the earth are those that would be under the age of accountability, those that had not had an opportunity as of yet to be saved, and those that had received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior during that time. Most of the world's population is going to be wiped out. As you've been studying with me in the book of Revelation concerning the tribulation period, I mean, there's going to be so much taking place and the judgment of God upon this earth. And so many will be killed during that time. But then the leaders, this false prophet, the Antichrist and the beast, they're going to be cast into eternal Gehenna, hell. And then we find that as the earth is being purged by Christ's coming, Satan himself will be bound. He will be placed in this bottomless pit, or if you will, this place of holding. Now, if we look at the word hell, you'll find that there's three different definitions of the word hell that you read hell in the Bible, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament. There's one of, and you have to read the context to understand exactly what it's speaking of. There is the Sheol hell, which is simply the grave. That's the grave. That's when you see that word hell, especially in the book of Psalms, most of the time that word that is translated hell in the English speaking language, it's referring to the grave. And everyone who dies, the body goes to the grave. That's that idea of hell there. Then there's the Hades hell, or the abode of the dead. It was a temporary holding place until the great white throne judgment. When the lost die without Christ, their spirit goes to immediately to this place of, it's a place of torment, but it's not the eternal hell. It's not Gehenna hell. It is a place of the abode of the dead. The spirit goes there, and there's instantly torment in the place of hell. This is where Satan is going to be held for this 1,000 years, as well as with all the others that have died without Christ. Now, the ones that went into Gehenna hell was the beast and the false prophet. They're not going to be released after 1,000 years. The only one that's going to be released is Satan himself concerning that. And so we find that that would be the Hades hell. And then there's the Gehenna hell, which is the eternal lake of fire that God created to house Satan for an eternity. But yet all those that will follow him, and all of those who fail to receive Jesus Christ will be cast into this Gehenna hell, and that's not until the great white throne judgment. And they will be resurrected in order to be able to stand before God to be judged and then cast in the second death into this Gehenna hell. Now that's what we've studied. Have you studied the Old Testament prophecies, align it with what Jesus taught, and now you study the book of Revelation, and you'll find that those are the three definitions and the three places that the Bible calls hell. Well, Satan is bound for that 1,000 years. What a blessing. Just knowing that we have to deal with Satan today, but understanding he's going to get his. Amen. Understanding that he is going to be bound and he's going to be cast into this holding place for 1,000 years. And then after the 1,000 years, then he is going to be cast into this very same Gehenna hell for an eternity. But praise the Lord that we find here that God sends an angel and come down from heaven having the keys to the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand, laid hold on the dragon. He's going to lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. And cast him to this bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. As long as he is loose, as long as he is doing what he wants to do, he's going to be deceiving the nations. That's his number one task. That's what his desire is. He's a liar, he's a father of all lies, and he's a deceiver. And if we're not careful, he will blind us to the truth. Well, so we find here the first three verses here that Jesus reveals to us, the Bible reveals to us, that Satan will be bound and held for this 1,000 years. And then there's going to be, verse 4 through 6, this 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And the Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgments was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead." Now this is what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to reject that during the tribulation period. And those that reject the mark of the beast, and they reject bowing down and worshiping the Antichrist and worshiping the beast and the false prophet, they're going to be imprisoned, and many of those are going to be beheaded. They're going to lose their life. They're going to be executed. And yet those that were executed during the tribulation period for their stand for Christ, the Bible is referring to them. And they are going to, the Bible says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The bride of the first resurrection is the church. The first resurrection is the rapture of the church. That first resurrection, not only will it be those who are alive and remain on the earth when Christ returns for his church, he's not going to return to the earth, but he'll return in the clouds and he'll call the church up. The first resurrection. All of the dead in Christ are going to be resurrected at the very same time. And the Bible says that we will all be going up at the same time, and in the twinkling of an eye, we all will be changed. We will take on this glorified body. Those that are in heaven today do not have a glorified body. Their spirit is in the presence of God. And I believe that they're in that so great a cloud of witnesses, and they're rejoicing in heaven over the work of God being done on this earth. But when the rapture takes place, they will come with Christ, and we will all be raptured up together, and we will all receive a glorified body at the very same time. That's a blessing to know that. Amen. And so as we receive the glorified body, then we will be in going through the things we've already discussed during the 7-year tribulation period on this earth. First of all, there will be the judgment seat of Christ for believers and what we've done with the opportunities that God has given to us. There will be that marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be all the things that God reveals concerning what will take place in heaven. And then as Christ returns to the earth, the church, or as the bride of Christ, will return with him. And the bride is the first resurrection, the church. And those that beheaded during the tribulation will also be with us here on this earth to rule the whole world. Now, verse 5, the Bible says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. You see, they are not going to be resurrected with the saved. That's the rapture. Their spirit goes immediately into this place of a Hades hell. But then when the judgment, when the great white throne judgment comes, time for that, then there will be this resurrection of the dead. Those that died without Christ, and they will receive some type of a physical body that was prepared by God to be keep them alive in a place of eternal damnation where there will be no escape. That's the place of eternal hell. And they will live there, even the worm, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not. And it's going to be an eternal place of damnation. The Bible reveals Jesus taught more on the place of eternal hell than he did on heaven, because he knew that people needed to fear the place of hell, and he understood the reality of it. And so he would reveal that to them. And so we find that the rest of the dead are the unbelievers will wait the great white throne judgment. So that'll be another 1,000 years. That will not take place until after the millennial reign of Christ. So now we have this time frame that God has given to us. 7-year tribulation. After a 7-year tribulation, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on this earth. That's what the Bible's teaching us. And God has a purpose for us knowing that. In verse 6, the Bible says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." The church. Those that get saved. Well, you have an opportunity to get saved. those that are the called of God, those that are doing their part in being able to keep the church on track and accomplishing what God has for the church to accomplish during this 21st century even. Amen. During this church age. Now, as we continue to do what God would have us to do as a church, it's important for us to understand that what is going to take place, because as we look at the world is going to have to start moving toward being prepared for what is going to take place during the rapture. The mentality of the world, the whole idea of the world system, as we've studied somewhat going through the tribulation, the one world church, a one world government, the antichrist, not necessarily anti-religion. I believe the world will still claim to be religious, but they will not hold to the doctrines of Christ. Concerning morality, it will not be based upon what God says. Concerning lifestyle, it will not be based upon what God says, how we ought to live our lives. In order for us to get to that place where it's going to be an antichrist society, that does not take place overnight. The world is drifting toward that type of mentality. We're seeing that today. If you can't see that, you're blinded. Amen. And the Bible says things are going to get worse and worse, and there's going to be greater apostasy, a falling away from the things of God. When we see all that taking place around us, we look around and we ought to be made aware of rapture soon, coming soon. How can you deny it? And that's what Jesus taught concerning the signs that you will be unmistakable when it comes time for the rapture of the church. Amen. And so for us to think, and listen to me, this world, as it gets darker, the church needs to shine brighter. And we will shine brighter by just doing the same things that we've always done. Because the world is getting so far away from what the world used to do, and how the world used to look to morality, how the world used to look at righteousness. And because they are drifting so far away from God, if the church just maintains the witness that God would have us to have, it's going to be so much different from the world, and the world's going to be so much darker, and the church will even shine that much brighter. There's no hiding the true church as we get toward the rapture, the time. No hiding it. There's going to be great persecution of the church. The greater persecution will come as we get closer to the rapture. Why? Because we'll be that much more different from the world. And we're just going to hold on to the very same things that we've always held on to, but the world will not see that. And they will look to persecute the church for just trying to be the same church that God established 2,000 years ago. Do we see that today? How can we not? How can we not? Yeah. So he says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You can't sacrifice too much for Christ if you're just doing what he wants you to do. You're going to have to deal with persecution, but he said, blessed are you because you're holy. He's saying, just wait. Just wait. You're going to understand the blessings that I have in store for you. You're going to receive those, and it's all going to be worth it all. It'll all be worth it all. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. The second death is the casting into the lake of Gehenna hell, where they died spiritually and they never was reborn spiritually. And so because they died spiritually and they never got reborn, then they're going to die a second death and be cast into an everlasting lake of fire. They're going to be cast into this place that God has prepared for Satan and his angels and all that follow after him, whether you're deceived or not. If you fail to receive Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, then you will face this second death. But if you have received Christ, then it has no effect on you whatsoever. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah, that's what it says. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The blessed will reign with him. Now, we are going to have glorified bodies. We get those on the way up. Amen. At the rapture. Will the world be able to see us in our glorified bodies? Now, there's difference. Different men will differ on their interpretation of that, which all we have to go by is the scriptures. The Bible doesn't say exactly. We'll just say we'll rule and reign. Christ is on the throne today in heaven. Angels are all around us. There's spiritual battles being fought. We don't see them. We can see the results of them, and we can sense the presence of evil, and we can sense the presence of God. You can do that, but you can't see them. Man will be the same. The body of man will be the same. That's not going to change. Now, it does reveal, the Bible does reveal, that things on this earth will be different. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But the idea here is we will reign with him. We don't know exactly how that is going to take place. Everyone on this earth will know that Jesus is sitting on his throne in Jerusalem. He's going to be ruling and reigning the world from his throne in Jerusalem. That's why Israel is on the map today. And that's why that is the dividing point. The world, around, all around the world, you either are on the side of Israel or you're against them. You either love them or you hate them. That has always been. And that is no coincidence. That's proof positive that God is doing something in that land. And that is going to be a point of contention. Always has been, always will be until this day. And then Jesus will sit on the throne in Jerusalem and he will rule and reign from there, the whole world. We can see that. So we're going to have these glorified bodies. Are we going to have a body that can be seen? It could be just like Jesus when he came in his glorified body. When he wanted them to see him, they could see him. He sat down and ate with them. He ate in his glorified body. Amen. Not that he needed it, but never know. Just enjoy it. So we have some examples there of Christ and his glorified body and how he stayed for 40 days and met with the disciples and taught the apostles and he fellowshiped for 40 days before he ascended up to heaven. Now, that could be insight into what it will be like when we're here with him ruling and reigning. Christ will sit and rule from his throne in Jerusalem. People will multiply during that millennial reign quickly since there will be no sin. No sickness, no disease, no hunger. There will be a change in world conditions. Isaiah gives us a little insight in this. Isaiah chapter 11, look there with me. Again, we're comparing with what Christ taught, with what the book of Revelation teaches. Now we'll go back and see what God gave to us concerning the prophecies of the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 and 9, this is prophecy concerning this kingdom rule. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf of the young lion and the fatlings together, and a little child shall lead them. A little bit different. If you watch the Animal Planet and some of the, I don't think that happened today. It'll be different. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. They shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not, and many believe that to be alligators and different types, but it's talking about the animals. There's not going to be any fear of the animals on the earth. They will all become vegetarians once again. They will not be meat eaters. And they will all respect humanity. There's no dogs biting kids. No cat, they probably know cats anyway, but there'll be no cats scratching anybody. I think they're bound in hell with the devil. I don't know, but I just. Difference of interpretation, right? It's all right. It's But they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Things on earth would be different. Perhaps it's the way it would have been in the beginning, without sin. The difference here will be that man will still have a sin nature, but he will not have Satan there to tempt his sin nature. That's why 1,000 years later, and we'll get into this, then they're going to be left back to their sin nature to make a choice. But right now, we find that things will be totally different on earth. It's going to be blessed. Tremendous joy, tremendous satisfaction in life, holiness, righteousness, the same holiness of God, perfect love, perfect marriages, perfect children. Amen. Perfect desires. Be something. 1,000 years. Millennial reign. The millennial reign will prepare us for eternity, which will be even better. The difference in eternity, there will not be marriages in eternity. There will be during the millennial reign of Christ. There will be pregnancies, there'll be deliveries, children being delivered, but no sin. Righteousness ruling and reigning. There's not going to be any sickness and disease. With this in mind, what can we learn from this for today? God has a purpose for revealing everything that He has revealed. He wants us to know that what's going to take place during the tribulation. He wants us to know what's going to take place in heaven. He wants us to know what's going to take place on this earth, the very same earth that we live on today, when He is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. God has revealed this to His church, possibly because we can experience some of these blessings even today. If we'll flee from the influence of the devil, you can experience more of the blessing of God. In the millennial reign, God will take care of that. Satan will not be here to influence us at all. What are we doing to try to limit Satan's influence on our life today? I believe that God wants us to see the difference it's going to make in the millennial reign, and He reveals all these different things and the blessings it's going to have and what it's going to be like here. But we can learn from that even today. We know how it's going to be, and that means that we don't have to let Satan have the influence in our lives that he has. God has not removed him as of yet. God says, one day I'm going to remove him, and it's going to be for 1,000 years. But what are we doing today to remove the influence of the devil from our lives today? If we're not doing anything to remove it, he is influencing our lives. If we are not doing anything to combat the influence of the devil in our children's lives, if we're not doing anything to combat the influence of the devil in our own hearts and our minds, listen to me. He's going to have more of His will in our lives, and He's going to bring more destruction into our lives. What are we doing to limit? He's still here, and He still has His demons, and Satan and his demons do influence the lives of humanity today. Don't have time to go into all the different, but there's so much in the Bible that reveals to us how Satan is very powerful. And we are no match against the devil outside if we yield to the presence of God. I ought to help you. I ought to help me to want to spend more time in my Bible. I ought to help me to want to spend more time in places like this. A controlled environment. Not letting the world in. Making sure that what the influence of this church is an influence of holiness and righteousness and godliness. Making sure that what you're influenced by from this pulpit is coming from this Bible and not the wisdom and the philosophies of man. just trying to continue to preach what God has given the church to preach for some 2,000 years. Because this is what we have to combat the influence of the devil. Wow. What are we doing? Second, no longer will anyone doubt the existence of God or creation. There will be nobody on planet Earth during the millennial reign that will doubt the existence of God and doubt the fact that God created all things. Because Jesus will be visibly seen ruling from Jerusalem. Technology will be here. I mean, it'll be there. He'll be seen around the world. I wonder what we're doing to eliminate the doubt that Satan wants to put in our hearts concerning the existence of God and creation. If you go the way of the world and you start believing in evolution, it will take you in a totally different direction than somebody who believes in creation. If we start going in the direction of evolution, then every generation has a different standard for morality. If we go in the direction of creation, then God, who created us, established morality. You go in two different directions. And when you start going in the direction of evolution, then you start even having a greater doubt if the Bible is the Word of God. If there is a purpose for living the way that the Bible tells us to live. If there's a purpose for being a part of a good church. The purpose for reading our Bibles and praying. And when you give in to doubt, Satan has just influenced you and leading you in a different direction. Wow. No longer will anyone doubt the existence of God. What are we doing to get rid of doubt today? Don't let Satan keep beating you over the head with that doubt. Know what you know. Be steadfast and unmovable in it. Prove it to make sure it's the Word of God. And then live by it. Don't allow Satan to influence you concerning doubt of God and His will for our lives. Millennial reign, not going to be anyone doubting. On planet Earth, there will be no doubt. It's exciting. I'm telling you what. It's exciting to think about that. The third thing, there will be a change in aging, sickness, and disease of the body. Isaiah chapter 35. We find some more insight into this millennial reign, this kingdom rule. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 5, on this earth, there will be no blind. The Bible says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of the dragons, which each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's not talking about eternal heaven. It's talking about the millennial reign, the kingdom that God is going to establish on this earth for 1,000 years. And He wants us to know about that because I believe we ought to be doing some of the things that will bring this into our lives. Today, we can have greater peace in placing our health in God's control. I think that we ought to do our part to live a healthy life, but turn it over to God. I'm not going to live my life fearing cancer. I'm not going to live my life fearing heart attack. I'm not going to live my life fearing death. I'm going to do everything I can. I think the wisdom that God's given to me to live as healthy as I can, to do what I can to keep myself as healthy as possible, but I'm turning it over to God as far as His will for my life. If I've turned it over to God, if I end up having to battle cancer, can I tell you, God has a purpose in it. And God wants to be glorified through my dealing with cancer. If God takes me before my time, or before we might think as our time, old age, dying of old age, then God has a purpose for my homegoing. Don't mourn. If this pastor died, don't you dare mourn for me. Rejoice, because I'm going to be with God in heaven. Amen? I have no fear of death. I don't want to have to face the steps leading to death as anyone. But my life is in the hands of God. What a great peace of mind when we can truly do that. Stop trying to be 20 years younger. Amen. Stop thinking about all the different procedures that the world wants you to do to make you look 20 years younger and act 20 years younger. Just turn it over to God. Do what you can to be healthy. Honor the body as God would have us to honor the body as a temple of the Lord. I think it'll make a difference now. And lastly, there will be a change in government, a change in morality, a change in judgment on this earth. Isaiah's prophecy one more time and then we're done. Isaiah chapter 2. These are all referring to this kingdom age. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. All the nations of the world will be ruled and reigned by Christ from Jerusalem. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. There's not going to be wars and battles during this. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, we can't establish this today. We have very limited to control over government and morality and judgment of this world. But I think if God's people would just exalt the house of the Lord and encourage all to attend, it can make a difference. Exalt the house of the Lord and encourage all to attend. What a difference that would make. But what is sad, instead of the church having more of an influence on the world is having more of an influence on the church. And that's exactly what's happening and will happen leading up to the rapture that allows apostasy to rule and reign, to sin to control the world. But what are we doing to exalt the house of the Lord while we can? What are we doing to encourage the world to look to God? We first have to look to God ourselves. Be a witness, a light, the salt. Influence as many as we can. And God says, blessed are you. That's what God would have his church to do, leading up to that rapture. What a blessing to understand the millennial reign of Christ and how it can even apply and why God revealed to us today so that we might somewhat do our part to have that kind of conditions here today. The millennial reign of Christ. What a day it'll be. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Praise the Lord that God's revealed what he's revealed for us. He has a purpose for it, and I trust that his purpose is so that we might learn of this day and do what we can to implement as much of that as we can. Make a difference in our homes. Make a difference in our personal lives. And I believe ultimately it can make a difference in our city, in our state, our country, our world. Let's exalt the house of the Lord and do all that we can to get people to come. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this book of Revelation and revealing to us what will take place in the future. But God, how that we can learn from that and do what we can even today. And I pray that this message would speak loudly to each one of us concerning our own lives, our families, and those around us that we can have an influence over. Pray that we would do all that you'd have us to do. Meet with us now and bless in this invitation time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead.